Welcome to episode 554 of Salcedo Paranormal. And tonight, I am your host, James Salcedo, and tonight I'm starting another book review series. And this time we'll be going over the Book of Ceremonial Magic by, let me check on the author here, Arthur Edward Waite. So thank you all for being here and listening. You can always find all episodes of the show, along with links to social media and other ways to contact me at the podcast page, and that is salcedoparanormal.podbean.com. That's S-A-L-S-I-D-O, paranormal.podbean.com. Always happy to hear from y'all, whether you have comments or questions or topic suggestions or stories of paranormal experiences, whether they're your own or from other people that you trust. Happy to either read those or have you join me on the show to talk about them. Again, thank you all for listening. I sort of got my intro out of order there. But thank you all for listening, whether you are here for the live streams on Discord, or if you listen to the podcast or YouTube feeds, or on the Troubled Minds Radio Network, KUAP, Digital Broadcasting. There you can hear two replays of the show, different shows, every night at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, right before Troubled Minds Radio comes on. And as always, I'd like to thank Michael Strange, host of Troubled Minds Radio, for putting these shows up on the station. And if you'd like to support the show, there are some different ways to do that. You can always share the show with others and rate and review it on your favorite podcast platforms. You can also find books I've written on Amazon, paranormal fiction and nonfiction. And you can sign up to the Patreon page, where you'll find one extra episode of the show per month of True Paranormal Stories on the web, whenever I'm able. Or you can just make one-time donations through PayPal. Support is never expected, but always appreciated, as there are expenses in making these shows, from equipment to research materials to travel expenses in some cases. And I think that covers everything there. Thank you all for being here. So we're getting into this book now, tonight, on the history of magic, really, is from what I can tell is what it is. And, I of course, whenever I do these long book review series, I use AI. Claude is the primary, I think it's the name of that overall service that I use, basically. And I use that to summarize each of the sections of material that we go over. And so what I'm going to be doing is reading these summaries of sections of the book. And that's sort of how I condense the book and to get through it all without it taking, years instead of months to review these books. And of course, I always review books that are in the public domain to do this. Partly because I think it's amazing to go back and look at older material to see what they were thinking and how they were thinking about these things. And also partly because I do like to respect people's intellectual properties and those rules and laws that are that govern them. So whenever possible. So it's just the summarizing is just an amazing thing that can be done. It really helped a lot with the Charles Fort, the complete books of Charles Fort. That was an amazing experience doing that with that whole series. And looking forward to seeing what comes out of this one. So, especially because I know very little about the history of magic overall. I've listened to an audiobook about it, but it takes me many times to hear things. In a lot of cases, to really have things set in, so they're sink in. So getting to the material here, again, this book that we're going to be reviewing is called The Book of Ceremonial Magic by Arthur Edward Waite. That's W-A-I-T-E. So here is a summary of the preface. It says, "The art of goetic magic involving incantation, sorcery, fascination, and related illusions or impostures has come to signify the diabolical extreme of the more general art termed practical magic. And I just want to stop there, too. This is all according to this one author, so the views that are expressed in this book are not necessarily those of myself or anyone else. They are strictly this author's views, and we will see what we all think of them as we go through this book here. So, since practical magic implies a theoretical side or a philosophy of two kinds, modern attempts to explain alleged phenomena of the past and older assertions of authority based on secret knowledge from sacred sanctuaries of the Magi. It says the author is certain as a mystic that there was and is a science of old sanctuaries resulting in wisdom imparting experience, but it has no causal connection to the process of practical magic. Let's see how much longer this summary is. Keep in mind, this is just a summary. So I'm going to stop there for a second. And I think by sanctuaries and by authority, it's talking about established, thought systems and beliefs and maybe even religions, I'm guessing, there. So going on here, let's see here. It says, the book rules out consideration of the good versus evil aspects of magical arts as they dissolve into each other at the root. That's a neat idea there. The question is how magical procedures may draw from secret tradition. Rituals like the grimoires and keys of Solomon represent the last remnants of occult tradition passed down in written records of art magic. That's a neat term. I never heard that one before. It says, this revised book with additions remains a digest of old texts appended with an introductory thesis on how occultism and its arts connect with the mystic tradition as a path of illusion. In 1889, an expositor of Arid Kabbalistic doctrine published in English, Clavicula Solomonis for occult students who believe in and wish to practice magical rites. Most literature on theurgic ceremonial remains inaccessible. This is already getting into stuff that I know nothing about. But we'll see how it goes. It says, the present work takes bibliographical and critical approaches, consulting all known sources. It balances the interests of historical students and occultists. So that's a neat idea there, that it's really talking about the magic, but also the history of it. And I guess the people involved in it, maybe, in some places there. So we'll see. I have not read this book, just to be clear here. I haven't listened to this book because it's not really set up the easiest to do that. So getting back to this introduction here, or this preface here. I think the introduction is another section. It says, for occultists, it provides exactitude to the original texts presented systematically. It also evidences the futility of ceremonial magic in books and the distinction between white and black magic. White suggests there are deeper secrets and mysteries behind occult sanctuaries and literature, but if they are psychic rather than spiritual, then God, of course, this is the book here, then God is absent from them. So it says the magical texts are tainted with black magic, like every idle word is tainted with sin. And so this is one thing I think is going to pop up is obviously the writer here, the author here is coming from a certain perspective. So just to point that out, it says using the rituals may not always fail to produce results, especially hallucinations and auto-hypnotic states, which makes them dangerous. And I can kind of agree with that, even if you know you sort of do things and they work or they don't work. Either way, it could be dangerous. It says the book has two parts. One is an analytical and critical account of chief magical rituals. And two is a complete grimoire of black magic. Excuse me. These justified historical persecutions of witches and magicians. So that's basically what they're saying. These are what were used to persecute alleged witches and magicians, people that were supposedly doing all these things, or maybe were, but a lot of cases supposedly. So that's quite a bit already there to get into. But always looking forward to any comments you all have and thoughts you all have on these two as well. Whether you're here for the shows to listen live or you hear them after the fact, I know very little about all these things. So any input, as long as it's respectful, would definitely be appreciated. So getting back to the document here, I think we can get through the actual introduction. I was right, there is an introduction. Let me see here. Okay. Says, and that's that again, these are all summaries generated by AI. And here's the summary for the introduction. It says, the mystic tradition in Christian times is preserved in the literature of Christian mystical theology, a large and scattered body of work that is in need of codification and re-expression. This literature can be defined as the texts of the way, the truth, and the life in respect of the mystic term. It teaches the inward path of recollection, meditation, contemplation, renunciation of the lower in quest of the higher. It says the fundamental truth is that the way exists and is open. So again, just that's the author's view there. I'm sorry, I'm saying that a lot just because I'm not familiar with any of these things. Anyway, it says examples from the cloud of unknowing, that's quite the term, and the writings of Miguel de Molinos, probably saying that wrong, I apologize, are used to illustrate the concepts of eternal union with the divine, attained through stages of purification, illumination, and unification. In this state, the old ways of devotion and doctrine fall away as union with the Godhead is achieved. So again, they're not even, seems like they're talking about more than just any one idea or way of thinking of basically a creator in a way, or some force that is creates everything. Let me see, I lost my spot. Okay. It says, behind this tradition lies a concealed, perpetrated tradition of those who have gone further in attainment of the mystical term. This inner tradition points to states near to but not identical with the beatific vision. So I'm guessing this is talking about consciousness, states of consciousness, or things like that. Excuse me. It says, in contrast, there is a counter tradition of seeking miraculous power rather than union with the divine. This is the domain of occult science and magic. Those who seek powers of the soul apart from the divine are treading a path of loss into the abyss. Alchemy is an exception as it is concerned with physical transmutation. So, of course, I'm sure a lot of us have heard of alchemy, the idea of changing one material into another, often thought of to change base metals into gold, from what I remember. But then, of course, I've heard that it's also there's a deeper meaning to alchemy besides just the physical thing there, so the physical aspect there. It says, there is little to suggest a sublime black sanctuary or hidden church of hell in diabolism and black magic. Their aims are low and their methods base, as illustrated in grimoires like the Grimoirium Verum. Saying some of these titles is going to be quite the challenge. Says, psychical research is contrasted as a more sober investigation, but unlikely to lead to certainty of permanent value. The true way is an inward path. So they've mentioned that a couple of different times here. Says, the secret mystical tradition could never be the source of occult tradition and science. The remainder of the work will let the rituals of magic speak for themselves as to their merits. Excuse me. So that's the introduction there. Excuse me. So really, that's quite a lot to get into already, talking about different paths and excuse me, the inward path and all that. I've heard some of the terms before, of course, black magic, white magic, some of those things. I'm really curious if it'll get more into the whole psychical research area and how that's going to tie everything into each other. Because I do think that the paranormal and magic and all these things, I mean, I think it's all connected when it comes to consciousness and our own and others and interacting with all those things and then sort of the ways that's done and what that can do, what other effects that might have on the world around us. So yeah, this is already very lot to get into here. And like I said, I don't know a ton about it, but we'll start this first. Let's see here. Let's see how long this next section is. So let me see. All right, we'll start this and I'll just bookmark it if we don't get to the end of this section. This is the, let's see here. So we're getting into part one, the literature of ceremonial magic, and chapter one, the antiquity of magic rituals. And just to give you an idea of how big this book is, we're on section one of chapter one of part one, the importance of ceremonial magic. And again, this is a summary generated by AI. It says, the fields of psychological inquiry are fringed by a borderland of occult experiment beyond which lies the legendary wonder world of theurgy, magic, and sorcery. This world seems to defy logic and possibility, where contradictions coexist and the impossible is achieved. There are at least two points of view regarding magic. That of the simple believers and that of the skeptical outside world. A third view sees demonic forces behind the legends of magic. A fourth reconciles this with a distinction between white and black magic. The most important questions are the mystic question and the historical and/or literary question. The first is largely closed to public discussion. Let's see here. I lost my spot. There it is. Okay. The magical literature of Western Europe from the Middle Ages onward is moderately large. The motivating principles behind this literature also rule its history in a complex interaction. The main principle was a conception of mysterious forces that could be operated or set in motion by man, of course it says man, but by man, with the ultimate aim of subjecting even supernatural intelligences to the human will. This was the doctrine underlying ceremonial magic. So that's, I've heard of that idea, and that's a big part of from what I've heard in different podcasts that have sort of touched on these things over the years. That is a big part of it, is going through certain steps and procedures and rituals to make other entities do what you want them to do. Which I don't think I'd ever want to do that. That sounds terrifying to me in a way. And also, and this is just me thinking out loud as we're going here, I don't know if I'd feel comfortable with that anyway. Just because I know I don't like when people tell me what to do. I think I know someone else that's like that too. A good friend, but I won't say who. But their last name might be Strange, possibly. So just going with the idea of using these different methods to make others, whether they are non-physical or otherwise, do what you want. That's, to me, is a slippery slope in a way. But again, that's just me, and who knows exactly who or what they're talking about. So that is not a judgment on anyone. That's just my own views and how I kind of feel about that. But let's see here. Maybe we can get through one more paragraph before we stop here. Let me see. So it says, ceremonial magic was considered the superior method as it worked immediately through established formulae and words. The danger associated with it brought people to the black and white Sabbaths, I guess ceremonies there, or days, despite risks of punishment. I guess it's more like practices, by the sounds of it. Anyway, I think that's where we'll stop with this, because we only have like a minute left. I can already tell this is going to be a long series, and we're going to get into stuff that definitely seems to touch on the paranormal and supernatural, and that's the part I'm most interested in. I'm not doing this to sort of look into getting doing magic of any kind. I'm just curious about the connections between it and paranormal activity and the history of both of those things. So hopefully you all enjoy this as we go on. Please let me know what you think, if it's too much or too complicated or anything like that. We can maybe skip this, do something else. But thank you all again for listening, and I will talk to you all on the next episode of Salcedo Paranormal. Take care.